Your kids probably have a classmate who needs to be the boss when they play together, or perhaps your child is the one who prefers to be in control. The number of inflexible kids seems to be on the rise, leading to problem behaviors such as bullying and defiance. Find out how to improve the behavior of alpha children in our interview with Dr. Gordon Neufeld this week on Family Anatomy.
Of Family Anatomy are psychologists, but they're not your psychologist.
So if you need to talk to someone about family or mental health issues, you could get a referral from your family doctor. This show is for information only.
Welcome to Family Anatomy, your source for parenting and relationship information, with your hosts, Dr. Giuseppe Spizzano
and Dr. Brian McDonald. You can find us at familyanatomy.com or over on iTunes, and let's get right into the discussion today. We're talking about alpha children.
We're talking about alpha children.
Not beta children or VHS children.
Beta, no, they're fully formed. They're not in testing mode.
No, they are not. Yeah, we're going to be talking with Dr. Gordon Neufeld once again today.
Dr. Gordon Neufeld, he's a developmental psychologist. We've talked to him before. Mm-hmm. He was in private practice. We just found out that he's so busy with international engagements, speaking tour, workshops, that he's not doing private practice directly anymore. But he still has his institute open in Vancouver, British Columbia. He's internationally recognized for his work with children and families. And, he's got a very long resume here. But the book that we talked about last time with him, Hold On To Your Kids, is still a very relevant book. Mm-hmm. And I think he might be working on another book.
Well, hopefully he is working on another book. Certainly he's recorded some videos, and you can find those at his website, neufeldinstitute.com. And today we're going to be talking about those alpha children, which are kids who kind of get stuck in this role or this need. Well, primarily the problems that we're going to talk about are the kids who need to be the boss, the kids who can't take direction, the kids who kind of rule the roost, so to speak, in their home.
And really in any relationship, it's this alpha kind of instinct and this dependency, like they go on a dance. Could be in a marriage relationship, mm-hmm. even friendships with adults. Mm-hmm. There's a tendency to want to take charge, and at times when someone's feeling more vulnerable, they want to be cared for. Hopefully when this is a fluid thing and in a healthy relationship, they go back and forth, because everybody's got times where they're more vulnerable and feeling more confident.
Right. Sometimes you need help. Sometimes you need to take charge of the situation. And hopefully it's not one person who's in one of those roles all the time.
That's right. And that's what happens sometimes with kids, I guess. And that's not what you want. But let's not do all the work for Dr. Neufeld. Why don't we get him on the line?
Well, we may as well get him to do some work. Let's get him on the phone.
Okay. Dr. Neufeld, welcome to Family Anatomy.
My pleasure.
We're very happy to have you again on the show, and we've been looking forward to talking to you again. The last time we talked more about secure and insecure attachment and the closeness and distance that parents have with their kids. Tonight on the show, what we're going to do is talk about another dimension that you focused on, and that is the kind of alpha versus dependent aspects of relationships. Tell us about this and why it's important.
This is a huge dynamic that we seem to be blind to as human beings. We have such a strong value, I think, of equality that we simply don't see this dynamic in relationships. It's obvious when we look at other animals. In terms of humans, this drive to dominate, this need to dominate, has been misperceived. Nietzsche and from there Adler perceived it as an inherent quest for power that needed to be tamed. And so this has greatly influenced how people think. Others see it as an entitlement or as something that needs to be confronted and so on. So there are various ideas about this. And of course, the most perverse manifestation of this drive to dominate is bullying, from which we can see we have quite an aversion to this. But in actual fact, when we look at it from through the lens of attachment, we see that it's absolutely inherent. It is natural. It is part of the family of attachment instincts. It exists in every single mammal. And because attachment is primarily there to create a context in which we can take care of our offspring, attachment is primarily hierarchically arranged. There's no such thing as equality in attachment. It is actually hierarchically arranged. So the only instincts when we come close to each other, the instincts are either to take care of, that is the healthy instincts in attachment, or to move to dominate, to be the answer of the other, or to move to depend upon the other. And so even in adult relationships, as we become attached, we move naturally and hopefully in a very fluid dance that when we perceive the need of the other, we take the position of moving to become their answer in the areas of belonging and love and affection and all of those kinds of things, and vice versa. And so this alpha-dependent dance is very important. In fact, when you really understand this, as I've come to understand this, it's made more sense of the marriage conflicts we have than any other dynamic. We trip all over each other. When we're both alpha, then we're always trying to trump each other. It's like two people trying to drive at the same time. Or like in any kind of dance, one person has to have the lead. And of course, if you're both trying to follow, it's equally frustrating. So this is the basic inherent attachment dance. Attachment is not about equality. It's about hierarchy, and this is politically incorrect. We have a hard time really seeing this and talking about it.
And you mentioned bullying as one aspect or one element of alpha kinds of behavior, but it's not always a negative situation, right?
No, the alpha is positive. Without it, we wouldn't move to take care of the needy, to take care of the vulnerable. In the wild, the alpha instincts, you can see their intended purpose is to protect and to defend and to provide. And so this is a very strong attachment need. It's very positive. The problem comes when our emotional brain, the limbic system, cannot move us at the very same time to care or to assume responsibility. These are two very important emotions. So there's three instincts or emotions that must come simultaneously to take charge, to care, and to assume responsibility. And the problem with caring and responsibility is they're very vulnerable emotions. And we can easily become defended to those. And even mice can, even other mammals can. And so bullying exists in all these creatures. And so if we become defended against this, then the intended, the alpha instincts get divorced from what they were intended, their intended purpose, and the instincts become perverted. And this is what ultimately happens in bullying. You have this drive to dominate that is strong, but to the other characteristic of every bully I've met in my life, and I used to work with prisons of them, is that they're defended against the feelings of caring and responsibility. And so the modus operandi then is to assert dominance through exploiting vulnerability rather than what you would see it, and you should see it, as helping. Now, there are all kinds of manifestations of the alpha. You and I probably share one, which is the rescuer-helper syndrome. And this is when you're over responsible and you assume to take care of everyone. And so it's well known among therapists, well known among others, and this is when you're moved to be over responsible. If you hold others responsible, which is a very interesting thing, you hold others responsible, then the alpha manifestation takes a demanding turn, and we are having an escalating problem with demanding children who are alpha children, who try to orchestrate the care of the adults around them. And you also have a very competitive manifestation. This is when the alpha instincts come when you're with your so-called equals, because it's not in a position of hierarchy. Then you seek to displace the other, which is a very primitive instinct of alpha, is this displacement. And that's the basis of all competition, is you're displacing the other, moving to the top, and so on. And so that's a very strong instinct, and for some people, much more so than others.
And so it's, I mean, the initial instinct is a healthy one. It's one to, like, an instinct to take charge and to take care of. But I guess at some point, if that becomes a character trait as opposed to a way that you can be fluid in any particular situation, if you are a parent and you see, or even in a marriage, and you see that the person that you're with is hurt, that's where that alpha instinct can come in handy. But if the motive behind it is not to care for the other, but just to further your own goals or your own self-promotion, I guess that's one of the problems.
That's right. The alpha instincts are meant to be highly fluid. If you put a baby in the arms of a two-year-old and you do some matchmaking, you know, oh, he's so lucky to have a big brother like you. Look at him smile at you. Oh, he just loves you. And he watched that two-year-old find every little alpha instinct in him. And you can just feel the alpha instincts come to the fore as he moves to take care of and to assume responsibility for the baby. Now, the caring isn't informed. That's another issue. But the instinct are to care. And so these instincts are in every single person. Research shows us that even in the sexual domain, the dominance and dependence instincts are all there as part of the family. It's culture and context that determines which will be expressed.
Now, the more common maybe dimension that people might be familiar with is the dominance and submission, but you're calling it a little bit different from that. Is there a difference?
Well, I think there is. I think basically because submission doesn't get the whole purpose of attachment. And the purpose of attachment is for one to take care of the other. And so I talk about alpha because that moves to the top. But in actual fact, the opposite of alpha is not submission. It is to depend upon. And it is this, and so the real purpose is to provide and to seek. The provider is the answer to the seeker, the seeking. You're seeking for the answers in terms of attachment, belonging, love, and affection. And so this is, submission is a very harmful construct in that you're giving up something. Whereas when you depend, it's a very positive thing, and there's dignity in it to lean upon, to trust in, to see another as the answer. The Japanese culture doesn't use the term submission. They use the term dependence, and they find great dignity in this. We have great problems with this in our North American culture.
But sometimes now, like you've said, the idea is that in couples, people will move in and out of these two roles in that attachment dance, where sometimes one person will be dependent upon the other and the other will need to take charge, and sometimes the roles might be reversed. But you've written about an alpha complex, which is a little bit different. And how does that develop? And what is the alpha complex all about?
Well, an alpha complex is basically when you're stuck. You're stuck in alpha instincts, and it's not so fluid anymore. Like Mother Teresa would be stuck, you know. Hitler would have been stuck. There's all kinds of manifestations. Just a study was done on the U.S. presidents, And the drive for dominance, they call it a fearless drive for dominance. And what they have in common with psychopaths is it's stuck. So it can be stuck in a rescuer syndrome. It can be stuck in a bully syndrome. It can be stuck in various ways. But it's when it's no longer fluid. The difference is alpha instincts, they should depend upon the situation. When they're more characteristic of the personality, a bossy pants, a person who always has to take charge and over, then it's more characteristic of the person. If it's characteristic of a person, then that person has an alpha complex.
Right. Then you know what's funny is that I just watched the debate last night, and a lot of the commentators were talking about the two alpha males on stage,
right? Yeah,
Barack
exactly.
Obama and Mitt Romney. But how does that become more of a
battle? Wasn't it?
It was a good debate. What is it that creates this stuckness in a particular person so that it becomes detrimental to them and the people around them?
There's two things. We can be alpha by default when we didn't have the proper experience in our childhood of being taken care of. And so we didn't encounter a strong alpha presence. And I think this is happening to more and more children who simply don't encounter that. I had this experience when I was young. I was the oldest child, and my mother was very sick when I was 5 years of age. And my father was absent, and it put me into an incredible alpha role. And it became, in a sense, my survival. And I'm quite stuck. I get exhausted sometimes in my alpha role. When I do a week intensive, my alpha instincts are so exhausted. After that, I don't even want to drive. I want my wife just to make the decisions about where we're going to eat and everything like that. But as soon as my energy comes back, you know, damn, I go right back into this alpha thing again.
Mm-hmm. And so what you're really saying, though, is that in that week, you're having to take charge of things. You're having to give direction all the time,
right.
Take care of others the
and
whole
teach.
Time.
And teach,
yeah. Yeah. And so the alpha instincts get exhausted, and that's the only time for me sometimes that they lay down. But I had this experience which really put me into an alpha position. The other reason for becoming alpha is very simple. It's not safe to depend. And so if you were abused, neglected, if the relationship was used against you, If there was a lot of alarm in your childhood, if it's not safe to depend, then it's easy to get stuck in that alpha mode. So there's different reasons for the alpha complex. But at the end, if you have an alpha complex and you become defended against caring and defended against responsibility, this is where the bully is born. And so that's where it turns dark, and the alpha becomes very perverted.
This idea that we have in our culture that we want our kids to be independent, sometimes that independence happens by necessity and not out of a sense of secure attachment. It's almost a negative type of independence.
It is completely, and it's one of the things we're doing very wrong. Independence cannot be pushed. The research shows that parents divides parents basically of toddlers into two types of parents. One who says to their toddler, "You can walk very well on your own two feet. Don't expect me to do anything for you that you could or should do for yourself." And the other kind of parent who says, "Oh, come here. I miss picking you up. But please, here, I'll carry you." And ironically and paradoxically, the parents who are generous about inviting their children to depend have children who are invested and preoccupied with being independent. Mm-hmm. The parents who are pushing the independence of their children have children who are stuck at wanting to be carried to depend. And so it's very paradoxical. And unfortunately, we've been thinking that we have to push independence instead of realizing that no, nature has a plan. When we invite our children to depend upon us, when they have a sense of being taken care of, when they feel generously provided for, automatically their limbic system goes into the next gear, and nature says, okay, now we're ready for doing it myself, for becoming their own person, and so on. And so that's nature's job to push independence. Our job is to take care of them.
Now, we've talked so much on Family Anatomy and talked with you as well about attachment, and I think sometimes there's a risk for parents who are so concerned about their relationship with their children that they might even be afraid to set limits. They might be afraid to disagree or to take that alpha role because of the impact it might have on the relationship. But what does an effective alpha parent look like?
Well, that's the thing is yes. So many parents have lost their confidence. They're afraid of upset. A good alpha presentation is you don't express your own needs. You know, as a therapist, it's not time for you to express your own needs, because that would bring the client to take care of you, and that would upend the whole relationship. And many parents express their own needs to their children and express their own emotions to their children. You're making me sad. I'm lonely now. Or, you're upsetting me, which just invites the child to take care of the parent. The alpha presence is in the eyes. It's in the manner. It's in the demeanor. There's a take charge attitude, which really gives the child a sense that everything is safe, everything is okay, you know, and that they are the ones that are being taken care of. I found when I was in Provence on sabbatical there, and in Bali when I had a brief sabbatical there, that the alpha presence in parents and in grandparents and teachers, it was a very strong scripted in culture. They walked as if they were their children's answer. They talked as if they were their children's answer. And children moved naturally in the dependent position, looking up to them. And then you come to North America, and we have a whole host of adults who look so confused, who are following their children, who are running to gurus to tell them what to do. And of course, when you're in that, you're in the dependent position. Mm-hmm. And I even have parents who would buy my book and say, I can hardly wait to read this with my child. And I would say, oh my goodness, don't you ever let your child know that you bought a book on parenting. That's the worst thing they could do. When it comes to your child, you got to bluff it. They got to know that you are their answer. You know, keep that secret. But we've lost somehow these very important alpha instincts with our children. And so our children are becoming anxious. They're becoming alpha as a result, highly alarmed, because they do not feel our strength. They do not feel our confidence in being able to take care of them.
And so they take on the alpha role, and parents might be listening to this now and thinking, well, my son seems kind of bossy and my child is pretty inflexible and I've heard about some bullying at school. If a child is stuck in that alpha position, what can parents do to move them out of that?
Well, the most important thing is to take your rightful position in their life. You need to establish a caring dominance with them. And that's not an issue of lording it over. It's an issue of making it easy for them to depend upon us. And that is the part that we're having difficulty with. You know, for over 50 years now, the key word in parenting has been, you know, yes, it's okay for them to depend as an infant, but by 2 years of age, don't do anything for them that they could or should do for themselves. And it's been a drastic message and totally taken us away from traditional wisdom and culture. And so it is finding our rightful place, our caring dominance. For instance, in no traditional culture does a child feed themselves. The parent makes up their mind what the child is going to eat. And, you know, if you have a Ukrainian mother still, the Ukrainian mother isn't going to ask you what it is that you would like to eat, not even as an adult. You eat what she provides. That's the way you love her, and she loves you by providing. And in traditional cultures are like this, but we've put children in the lead. We have lost our confidence, and in this, our children are becoming bossy, prescriptive, controlling, and then we misinterpret it as being strong rather than being as a desperate defense. And in actual fact, the right relationship for children is to depend upon the adults who are responsible for them. And it's the only way we can truly take care of them. It's the only way we can make them feel safe.
So you've said several times, you know, that it's important for you as a parent not to look for the answer, but to be the answer.
Yes.
So if that's the case, what is the question that the children, or questions that the children are presenting to parents?
Well, our bottom question of all of us is, are we invited to exist in your presence? And this is, it's an attachment question. We look for contact and closeness. This goes back to the attachment hunger for love and belonging, for a sense of sameness. We're looking for this this connection in so many ways. And that is our basic hunger. And just as we are, our relationship should be to their food and to their safety, that we are their defender, we are their provider. The same thing should be true in terms of their attachment hunger. And so as parents, we've come to think that we have to figure out, we have to learn how to parent. We have to find out what the answers are. And in actual fact, we've neglected the most important place of all, of just rising up to be the answer of our children. And that's where the alpha instincts are found, is in that aspiration, that mission, that confidence to become the answer my child needs.
So it's all about making sure that the children know that they're a priority for you, but also that you are the one who's in authority over them.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. You're willing to make the decisions, including the tough decisions that they may be upset about. You're not afraid of upset. The alpha is not afraid of upset.
Mm-hmm. You can help them get through that upset, but you still are firm in setting those limits.
Yes.
Do you ask for their input when you're making those decisions? Or, do you know what I mean? Some people might be thinking, well, should we be conversing about what their needs might be before making those decisions?
Of course, but there's always a bottom line. If a child cannot accept a no from you, then the whole point of reasoning is it's a moot point, because the fact is the child won't accept a no, so all you're trying to do is avoid upset. There's no point in ever having any kind of negotiation with somebody and taking their needs into consideration unless you're accepted as an agent of futility. If you say, no, I'm not going to read the second story tonight, and they are able to accept it, then you're free to find out what their needs are, all kinds of things. But if the bottom line is they can't accept you as an agent of futility, then that's what needs to be dealt with.
So what are the consequences if they can't accept you as an agent of utility?
Or if you there's going to be upset,
you know, you give in to them. They start taking charge. What's
exactly
happening there? What's the consequences of that?
The whole issue of adaptation, when children need to be changed by that which they cannot change, when they're up against the things that they cannot change. This is the whole issue of human adaptation. And it requires a lot of courage of the parent to be the representative of that reality of futility. And the first word, of course, is just something like, no, mommy's the boss of that. I can't let you do this or whatever it is. Or I can't let you have this and so on. And so it's no. And then the response to futility, if it really sinks in, the only thing left to do but is for a child to have their tears, and that's where the body language comes in, the limbic system. When futility registers in the limbic system, if the heart is soft enough, the eyes water, and so the tears of futility are there. And then of course the next response from the parent should to come along as an angel of comfort, and so that you can make room for those tears, at the same time be an agent of futility. But we've lost that wisdom in our culture along with the alpha instincts. And so we take way too many cues from our children in terms of what will upset them, and then we find that they can't adapt to anything. when they're up against things that they cannot change, they simply become more frenzied in their attempts to alter realities that they have no business altering. And so this is all part, again, of this alpha thing. The alpha role in a parent is to be able to have our yeas be yeas and our nays be nays, mm-hmm. Is to be able to then collect the tears that need to come with this and forward the adaptation of our children over the little things in life so that they are prepared for the bigger things in life that they will be up against.
But of course, when you have a parent who has difficulty accessing those alpha instincts, and then you have a child who may be bossy or inflexible, something else is going to happen we haven't really talked about very much. Sooner or later, you're sending that child off to school, and a teacher is going to have to deal with a child who feels like he's the boss.
Yes, that's exactly it. And once the tears are lost, of course, if you do stand up, if you do say no, then you get eruptions of foul frustration, of aggression, and so on. Then the real issue goes much more deeply into addressing the alpha issues in that child and helping them get their feelings back.
You know, what's interesting, people listening to you probably think, you know, here's this warm and gentle man who advocates for talking about attachment and caring for children and for other people. And what people might not know, but I think you kind of mentioned it a little earlier, was that you worked in prisons for a long time, almost like the opposite of what you might think someone like you would have been doing. But that really informed a lot of what you came to develop in your theories.
Oh, did it ever. It did. And many do think of attachment-based parenting as putting the child in the lead and as avoiding upset and taking the cues from the child. And that's not what it is. Attachment is hierarchical, and it is the parent taking their rightful position and responsibility, because that's the only way that a child can feel satiated, nurtured, and safe. So there are often misunderstandings when people get into this attachment stuff. It is nurturing, but to nurture, one person has to be in charge. Otherwise, nurturance doesn't take place.
And part of ensuring that kids don't become defended against those vulnerable feelings is making sure they know it's normal to feel sad, to worry about things. Normalizing those feelings is so important for parents to do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And not to be afraid of them yourself.
Yes, I think parents panic when their kids cry or they become very upset.
If we're defended against our own tears, we're going to shame them and our children. It's very important to make room for them in ourselves and in our children.
Well, Dr. Neufeld, it's been great talking to you again. We want to thank you for coming on the show, and we want to let people know where they can find out more about your work and your books and where you're going to be next.
Well, the best way of finding out more is just through the Neufeld Institute website, neufeldinstitute.com. Mm-hmm. And I'm just about to leave on a 10-country tour, or will be in 10 countries, 9 other countries, and then Canada, but away for, I think I have 26 events that I'm doing over a period of 5 weeks, and will be in Mexico and then in Europe and in Russia. Some political addresses, actually I get to address the parliament in European Union in Brussels on the well-being of children. So some exciting things that doors are opening for me. And I'll be in the Montreal area coming up very, very quickly here, 22nd, 23rd, and 24th for day seminars on anxiety, alarm, the alpha child on Tuesday and Wednesday, bullying. And then I'll be back in the Ottawa region in the beginning of April of next year. And I think I'm doing a public address on the troubled child. I'm doing a day seminar on play, actually, which goes to the very core of the developmental approach, the construct of play. And there's so much exciting stuff coming in from science now. It's just, I think it's the hottest topic now is the construct of play.
Very interesting. And well, you know, Giuseppe and I both are looking forward to seeing you next week. We'll be at the second 2 days of your 3 days in Montreal.
Oh, good. Great.
So hopefully we'll get a chance to chat in person.
Well, I'll look forward to seeing you again. That would be great.
Thanks very much for joining us.
Thank you for having me on your show.
And that's it for us. I hope you enjoyed our interview with Dr. Gordon Neufeld. You can visit us at familyanatomy.com or email us at info@familyanatomy.com.
You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on Twitter. If you're using an iPhone or iPod, you can find us on the podcast app. And as usual, we'll leave you with a bit of a tune by Brother Love, and he's over at brotherloverocks.com.
Thanks for listening.
See you in 2 weeks.
So get up and sing. It's a family thing. Hey! You know what to do.
FamilyAnatomy.com.